Good morning. The sermon title is Jesus, Who Are You? Jesus, Who Are You? In John chapter 13, before we begin the sermon in earnest, we need to remember what it is that prompts John chapter 14, and it is that Jesus is leaving. You and I have a Christian faith that is not connected to the physical Jesus the same way the original disciples' faith was. They spent 3 years following him around, literally, physically. And so when he announces his departure, they are stunned, as you might imagine. They are shaken. And so in John chapter 13, we hear Jesus' announcement. Here's what he says. He says, "Little children, I shall be with you a little while longer. You will seek me, and as I said to the Jews, where I am going, you cannot come. So now I say to you." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, where are you going?" Jesus answered him, "Where I am going, you cannot follow me now, but you shall follow me afterward." Peter said to him, "Lord, why can I not follow you now? I will lay down my life for your sake." Jesus answered him, "Will you lay down your life for my sake? Most assuredly, I say to you, the rooster shall not crow till you have denied me 3 times. Jesus says to the disciples, "I'm leaving. You, my disciples, you cannot come with me at this time." The disciples, as we would expect, "Jesus, where are you going? Why not? Why can't we follow you? This plan's been working for 3 years. Why deviate from it now? We've been following you around. You taught, we listened. You did miracles, we watched. We like being with you. We know you're special. We don't want you to leave." So Jesus responds to the disciples in John chapter 14, verse number 1. "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God? Believe also in me." I have written in my notes here, what is the cure for a troubled heart? Most of the time, the world would say, well, get rid of your troubles. That would cure your troubled heart. Get rid of your troubles. We just need a utopia, and then we won't have people with troubled hearts. And Jesus says, no. Jesus says the cure for a troubled heart is that you put the same confidence in me, Jesus, that you put in the Father. Do you believe in God? Or since you do believe in God, or okay, believe in God, and therefore believe also in me. Now, I understand that sometimes we get weary of terms like theology and things like that, and doctrine, and we get kind of weirded out with those expressions because we say things like, well, we just want to know what the Bible says. No, I understand. But to be clear, if you jump past these scriptures, you won't know what the Bible says. The Bible says, according to Jesus' own words, if you don't want to have a troubled heart in this day and in this age, in the age that the disciples lived in, you won't find it by imagining you're going to flush your world of all of its troubles. Instead, you're going to cling to Jesus in the same way you cling to God. And why is that? Because Jesus is the Son of God. It is wise to believe, to trust, and rely on God because of the kind of God He is. It is likewise wise to believe and trust and rely on Jesus because of who he claims to be. Jesus, who are you? In the course of my preaching over the last several years, I dare say there hasn't been anything that I have repeated more than we must know who Jesus is. There isn't a more critical question in all the New Testament than the identity of Jesus. I don't mean I just want you to know Jesus' name. I want you to know Jesus' person. In verse number 2, we continue. Jesus says, "In my Father's house are many mansions." The word literally is room or dwelling place. In my Father's house are many rooms or dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. So we find ourselves getting an answer to the question, Jesus, who are you? Jesus initially answers that question by saying this, God is my Father. I am the Son of God the Father. Whether you like the category or the word Trinity because it's in the Bible or isn't in the Bible, if you read the New Testament, you will discern that Jesus believes that God the Father has a one-of-a-kind unique Son and that He is it. And He believes He has the right to speak for God like no one else who's ever been born. And without unkindness to some other Christian groups who do not like the word Trinity and try to figure out all other ways to understand what the Bible teaches about Jesus, they just won't work. Because here, Jesus doesn't say, I am the Father. He says, I'm the Son of the Father. So there is a Father in distinction from Jesus. And Jesus prays to Him, and Jesus obeys Him, and Jesus reveals truth about Him and from Him. But Jesus doesn't say, there really isn't a Father, I'm the Father. No, He says, I'm the Son. He says, I'm at home in my Father's house because I'm the Father's Son. I'm at home in the Father's house, and someday you can be too. That's what He said. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. Now, I remember reading this text and thinking that Jesus has gone up into heaven and He has begun a new carpentry project. I mean, he's building facilities, and but that's not what John 14 is. John 14 is Jesus is going to the cross. See, heaven is plenty big enough. There's not a need to add any more facilities. The facilities are quite adequate. What needs to be added is members. And so Jesus went to the cross, not because heaven needed to have more rooms built. It's because the rooms that are there need to be filled. And if He doesn't go to the cross, all of heaven is empty. Jesus, who are you? Jesus says, I'm the Son, making it possible for you to be welcomed into my Father's house. Verse number 3. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Jesus, who are you? Jesus says, if I am to secure your salvation, I cannot continue my ministry as you have witnessed it. I must conquer sin and death myself, so that I can share that victory with you. So that even though I cannot stay here with you in the way that you're accustomed to, you will be able to join me forever in my Father's house. Verse 4, Jesus continues, and where I go, you know, and the way, you know. This is an odd statement, and because you and I are reading it, even though we weren't originally present when it was spoken, we find ourselves with the same kind of bewilderment that Thomas has. It's nothing like being told that you know the answer to the question when you're pretty certain you do not. It's frustrating. Ever been in a class where the teacher is lecturing and they're giving instructions and they say, and you know the answer, and you're thinking, oh no, I don't. That's very unsettling, is it? You want the teacher to be right. You want to have the answer, but you're pretty certain you don't. So Thomas says to Jesus, Lord, we do not know where you are going, and so how can we know the way? Now, Thomas responds to Jesus with what I call map-based questions. He has failed to understand that a map is not needed. What is it that the disciples knew that they didn't really appreciate? They did know Jesus. They just hadn't completely and fully known who he was yet. And in fairness to them, that isn't going to become abundantly clear until Jesus is risen from the dead. So Jesus says to them in verse number 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Well, the disciples knew Jesus, but they just hadn't quite figured out that he was the Son of God and what it means for Jesus to be the Son of God. You see, the identity of Jesus is going to be the solution to this would-be riddle. I find it interesting, and it's even alive today in the church, we are much more comfortable asking the how question. We like how questions. We like method questions. In fact, if you go to a Christian bookstore, you will find many of the books answer a how question. And they're going to present some kind of spiritual dilemma to you, and then they're going to give you the solution, and the solution is going to be an acrostic, or the solution is going to be 3 or 4 or 5, 10 steps. And so even now, we like how questions, and we like step answers. 1, 2, 3, 4, boop, I've solved it. Woohoo! And we like that. But Jesus doesn't do that here. See, the question is not how here. The question is who. Jesus, who are you? Jesus is saying more than, I can show you the way to the Father. He's saying more than, I can show you the truth about the Father. He's saying more that I can show you the life that comes from the Father. He's saying more than that. He's saying, I am the way to the Father. The only way. If you do not follow Jesus, the Father will not welcome you. So if, hypothetically, you found a map to heaven and you arrived at the gates, if Jesus doesn't present you, you're not getting in. It's not about geography. It's not about GPS. It's something different. Jesus is saying, I am the truth about the Father. I'm the only Son able to show you who the Father really is. And why is that? Because it's impossible to know a person as a father unless you know they are a father. And you can't know someone as a father until you see their children. And this is the key point of the gospel. I can introduce you. I can say, my name is Ricky Persons. I can give you my credentials. But you won't know I'm a father until I show you my children. And we don't know God as Father in the way that we're supposed to know Him until we see His Son. And then we learn something about the Father that we can't know any other way. So Jesus comes saying, I've come to show you the God of the Old Testament. He is my Father. And I am His only one-of-a-kind, unique Son. Jesus says, I am the life you must receive if you are to spend eternity with the Father. Jesus, who are you? I am the only son of my Father who can introduce you to him. Some of you will not track with this, and that's okay. It's kind of philosophical and it's hard, so look up at me just for a second. Okay? The path to heaven is not given like a map. There's no place in the Bible that lays it out like that. Instead, you are to depend and trust and rely on Jesus. The image that, if I'm going to give you one, the closest biblical image I can get is this. If you want to go to heaven, where you're standing, you say, Jesus, I need forgiveness because I have sinned grievously against God. There are things in me even now as I confess that I've sinned that are still grievously against God. So I need you to forgive me. I need you to change me from the inside out. And you'll be depending on the Holy Spirit to do that work in you. Discipleship is not faking it. Discipleship is confession and receiving a miracle of transformation from God. And then the path to heaven involves you staying put until Jesus grabs a hold of your hand and walks you to heaven. He doesn't give maps. He just gives escorts. Yeah, y'all should have teed that one up. That was good. There aren't any maps to heaven. There's just Jesus holding your hand, introducing you. This is my Father. He's the one I've been telling you about. He's the one who sent me. Verse number 7. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you know him and have seen him. The disciples have followed Jesus for 3 years, and they know Jesus in that sense, and yet they've not yet come fully to appreciate who Jesus is. In fairness, it is the resurrection of Jesus which makes clear who Jesus is, even to his original disciples. Think about how the book of Romans begins. Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, slave, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God, which God he promised before through the prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning what? His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God. How was he declared to be the Son of God? With power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. This is the truth of the gospel. We do not worship a Jesus who simply was a good example of righteous moral teaching and righteous moral behavior. We celebrate and follow and worship a Jesus who trampled death underfoot, who went one-on-one, as it were, with the prince of darkness, and that is why he is the prince and Jesus is the king. Y'all are making me work way too hard. Come on now, help me. Jesus is the Son of God. He has been declared the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. I still feel quite young. Every once in a while, I think I'm not really anymore. In fact, there are some of you who say, we have a young preacher at Bethel, and I don't know when you're going to stop saying that, but I would suggest it be soon because I'm 50. So you are saying something about yourself when you call me a young preacher. But the reality is that I am increasingly aware of my own mortality. I recognize how flimsy my cling on this life really is. It's only one person crossing the center line on my way home, right? It's only one untimely case of COVID. And so those questions that perhaps others are able to dodge, I'm not. My mind, even with lots of clutter, still is kind of compulsively drawn to those big questions. So, for instance, one of them is what I preached this morning going to matter if you don't hear me preach again? Was it eternally significant or was it a waste of your time? Those are my two categories, by the way. Nope. I'm counting on Jesus to come and grab my hand and introduce me to the Father. He's one of mine. I'm not looking for a map. I've found a Savior. He's risen from the dead. He's defeated death. He's provided forgiveness of sin. And I long for Him to finish the work in my heart so that I won't think evil, I won't say any evil, and I won't do any evil. That'll be the best thing about the first day in heaven. Verse number 8. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient. That'll be enough for us. Just show us the Father. Philip asked Jesus to do something in a way that seems to assume that Jesus can show people who the Father is in some kind of isolation. How is Jesus supposed to show you the Father when He doesn't show you that the Father has a Son? It's an odd query. That's what Philip asked him to do. Show us the Father. Like, okay, the Father's right over there. Just look at Him, and in isolation, you're going to figure out He's a Father. And Jesus says, that's not going to work. In order for you to see Him as the Father, you have to see Me as the Son. Some of you have met my dad. If you take me and shave the beard off and give me much less hair, and then you turned me into a 78-year-old man, we probably are twins, right? I mean, that's just what happened. The person's genetics are telling. So I could bring him up on the stage and I could introduce you. I could say this is his name. But if you didn't know that he was my dad, you wouldn't know he's a father until I told you that he's my dad. We can talk about God in some kind of generic sense. Listen to me. We can talk about God in some kind of generic sense, or we can talk about the God of the Bible. But they're not the same. This generic category of some fuzzy deity somewhere is much different than the God of the Bible. Once we begin to understand or to attempt to understand the God of the Bible, that must include what it means for God to be Father. Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Jesus now claims that since he has been revealing himself as God's Son his entire ministry, he has likewise been revealing God as his Father his entire ministry. Philip's question seems to assume that seeing the Father would reveal something different or better about God than just seeing the Son. And Philip's question is wrong. When you see the Son, you see the character of the Father. There isn't some decline from the holiness of God to the holiness of the Son. There isn't some kind of decline from the glory and honor of the Father and the glory and honor of the Son. There's no such decline. According to Jesus, seeing the Son is equal to seeing the Father. Not because the Father and the Son are identical in the sense that there really is no Father and there really is no Son. It's simply that the Father and the Son are alike, perfectly alike, except for the fact that the Father is the Father and the Son is the Son. I just told you that little illustration about my dad. You know, if you shave my beard off and a little less hair, a lot less hair, and you aged me to 78, you would be looking at Claude Persons Sr. According to Jesus, seeing the Son is like seeing the Father. And why is that? Because they have an uncanny resemblance. We would say it that way in Indiana, wouldn't we? An uncanny resemblance. Jesus, who are you? I am my Father's answer to your prayer. Show us your glory. Jesus, who are you? I am my Father's answer to your prayer. Show us your glory. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, He has declared Him. Do you not believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak of my own authority, but the Father who dwells, lives in me, does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake or on account of, because of the works themselves. Jesus, who are you? Jesus says, I am the Son of God. I'm not God the Father. God the Father did not die on the cross to pay the penalty for your sins. The Son did. The Son was buried. The Son was resurrected. The Son sits at the Father's right hand. The Son will return to claim all those that belong to Him, given to Him by the Father. As the Son, I am distinct from the Father, but I'm not separated from the Father. I am the Son of God whose Father dwells in me. I am the Son of God who dwells in my Father, Jesus says. There is this union between the Father and Son such that you never have to fear if you exalt the Son that you've left the Father behind. And you never have to fear when you're truly worshiping the Father that you somehow have ignored the Son. What do my supernatural works tell you about me, Jesus says? They tell you that God has chosen to display His power through my life and my ministry. They tell you that I have a relationship with God like no one else in the world, like no one else the world has ever known. These supernatural works tell you that if you want to know God, Jesus says, I cannot afford to be ignored. Jesus, who are you? Jesus answers, God is my Father. I am the Son of God the Father. I am the Son, making it possible for you to be welcomed into my Father's house. I am the only Son of my Father who can introduce you to Him. I am my Father's answer to your prayer. Show us yourself. Show us your glory. Lastly, I am the Son of God. I'm not God the Father. As the Son, I am distinct from the Father, but I am not separated from the Father. Jesus says, if you believe in, trust in, rely on me, you will not be separated from the Father either. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.